Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Future Brew, Michigan football recruiting right here on maizeandbrew.com. I am Vaughn Lozon, and with me, as always today, my partner in crime, my Maize and Brew football recruiting contributor, John Simmons. Johnny boy, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. Woke up to a nice mid-April snowstorm today, so classic spring weather.
You must have got what we had here in Michigan on Monday. Was not fun. I can confirm that. It snowed pretty much all day. Was not expecting that, but you know what? In Michigan, and I guess just with weather in general, expect the unexpected. So hopefully that was it. Knock on wood, hoping that's the last time we had to deal with that this year. But let's move on to our main topic here today. And we're really just going to wrap about the spring evaluation period for the 2023 football recruiting class, because this week started this spring evaluation period. And if you're not super familiar with it, I'll just give you a brief rundown of what happens during this period here. So college coaches, they can go to really anywhere across the country and check out their top targets. The one, I guess, caveat here is that they cannot speak to the recruits in person. So the communication has to be relayed from a high school coach or a parent or a teacher or a trainer, pretty much a second party. So Jim Harbaugh can't go talk to X recruit in person. It has to be divvied up a different way. But once the college coaches, leave the high school or wherever they're at, they can then reach out to the recruit over the phone, like calling or texting, email, etc. It's a very strange caveat to the spring evaluation period, in which I kind of don't understand it, John, personally. It's really weird to me, but it is what it is, right? So it's not just Michigan that has to deal with this. It's every college that has to deal with this. But if they have recruits that they're going after that are playing basketball or a spring sport, baseball, anything else that's going on, they can go to that athletic event and check them out in person. So I guess the recruit could see them in the stands. Although, again, they can't talk to them. So I thought it would be fun if John and I went through our top five recruits that we think Michigan should prioritize, roll out the red carpet for during the spring evaluation period. Now, it's not going to be like an official visit or any kind of visit to where the coaches do really roll out the red carpet and give them preferential treatment, so to speak. But these are the recruits that we really think Michigan should pinpoint and highlight during this spring evaluation period for the 2023 class. So, John, we compiled our top five list here before we recorded. I have no idea what your top five list is, nor do you know what my top five list is. So I don't know how similar or different this is going to be. So I'm pretty looking forward to listening to what your list is. So start with your number five, and then I will go into my number five, and we'll kind of compare notes here as we go along. So go ahead with your number five on your list.
Sure. My number five is going to be a guy who's not super highly ranked, but I think he's kind of blown up on the trail a little bit right now. And I think it'd be good for Michigan to kind of see him work out in person if they can. And that's Idaho's Kenyon Sadiq. He's listed as an athlete right now, either linebacker or tight end or wide receiver, but looks like Michigan is going to recruit him on the defensive side of the ball right now. You know, they had success last year getting Idaho's number one player in tight end Colston Loveland. So I think they have some good connections out there. So, you know, this is a fairly new target to the board. He just got offered a little bit ago, but he's already kind of blown up into a big time player for them. He did get an offer from Oregon recently too, I believe. And that, you know, he was talking about that as his dream school and stuff. So I think they're kind of tough to overcome. But, you know, Utah, Iowa State's always good with early evaluations. He has some good offers as well. And he's just really, really fast. I think he's kind of like an Akobe Dean or Devin Bush type guy where just speed is his game at linebacker. And I think he'd be a really cool guy to see and evaluate live.
Yeah, that's a really good pick, John. I honestly did not have Kenyon Sadiq on my list at all, but I certainly understand where you're coming from with that selection. And yeah, not a highly ranked kid whatsoever. He's number 529 on the composite. 24/7 in their personal rankings, though, have him a lot higher at number 220 overall. Between their rankings and the composite, he's the clear-cut number one player in the state of Idaho. At 6'2", 205, yeah, you're right. Speed is the name of his game. And I like how he is a multi-sport athlete. He plays football, he plays basketball, he plays track and field. And that's going to kind of segue into my number five on my list, because he also plays multiple sports. He plays football, basketball, and he's a wrestler. Very highly athletic offensive lineman in Charles Jagusa, and he's the number one player in the state of Illinois, top 100 overall, number eight offensive tackle in the country. And this is going to be one of those battles between Michigan and Notre Dame in really up until the very end, I think, because those are the top two schools for him at this time. He's 6'6", 308 pounds, so he certainly has the athleticism, the height, the size to play left or right tackle. So I certainly do think he's going to be a tackle at the next level. Very highly athletic prospect, as I mentioned. And just one of the few offensive tackles that Sherrone Moore is really going all out for. And there are a couple other guys like Caden Green being another one off the top of my head. That's a top 100 guy that Sherrone Moore is recruiting heavily. But Charles Jagusa is really, for my money at least, probably the best offensive tackle prospect that Michigan is recruiting heavily in this cycle. So he is my number five on my list here, John. Any thoughts about him? You don't have him later, do you? Or am I going to spoil your list? Okay. Oh, any thoughts about him being my number five?
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. He was just on Michigan's campus. He kind of took like back-to-back visits, Notre Dame and Michigan. And those are kind of the two schools that he's considering the most right now. So I think it's good to you know, kind of go back to his high school right after that and see him try to keep their momentum going because, you know, from all accounts, it seemed like Michigan really gained a lot of ground on that visit and narrowed the gap with Notre Dame. So just try to create that as much momentum as possible in that recruitment. So my number four is also kind of a Michigan-Notre Dame battle, which there's a lot of this cycle, but it's going to go to Michigan's favorite recruiting ground, Massachusetts, and pick Bobakar Traore, who is a four-star edge. He was committed to Boston College for a long time, but recently decommitted. And after he decommitted, it kind of seemed like he was just going to pick Notre Dame right off the bat. He got a bunch of crystal balls, and that was kind of the consensus. But since that happened, there hasn't really been much movement here. You know, I think he's a guy that Mike Elston really connected with when he was at Notre Dame, and being from Massachusetts, you know, Michigan always has a shot with those guys. So I think it's just notable that, you know, he didn't make that initial commitment to Notre Dame after decommitting. And I think that kind of opens the window for Michigan to get in here and kind of catch up ground here as well and try to get him up for a visit and swing the momentum in their favor. So I think going out there to Mass and, you know, going to his high school and evaluating him live would be a good option to try to get that spark going and get their foot in the door.
Yeah, agreed. Once a Boston College commit decommitted and his recruitment really just took off after that, Michigan and Notre Dame being the two. And John, we've got an article from you in the works about Michigan and Notre Dame recruiting battles, which will be on maizeandbrew.com in the very near future. Check that out, because there are so many going on in this 2023 class alone. I mean, they usually go head to head for a lot of prospects, but this year it's kind of ridiculous. But that's a good pick, John, for your number four spot. I think D-line, it's certainly a position that they've really hit the ground running for since Mike Elson has come over from Notre Dame. And that's probably a big reason why they're going head to head for so many prospects, including defensive linemen, several, including a couple that are currently committed to Notre Dame. I'm going to stick with the offensive line, though, for my number four spot. And it's a prospect that you probably would have imagined Michigan would have gained a commitment from long ago, but it just hasn't happened because Michigan is seemingly cooled on him, and that's Amir Herring. It really seemed like Sharon Moore and Michigan, like I just said, have really cooled on him. And I don't really know why, if I'm being honest, John, because he's a four-star kid. He's born in the state of Michigan, plays at West Bloomfield, a place where Ron Bellamy used to be the head coach at. I just don't understand why they wouldn't want to take a commitment from Amir Herring, just a very highly regarded kid, a very academic kid as well, which is something that Michigan really values. And it's just, I'm really not sure why the communication hasn't been strong in recent weeks, but I think they should pick up the pace here a little bit and zip on over to West Bloomfield. It's probably all of 30 or 40 minutes away from Ann Arbor. So it's just a jump, skip and a hop away. It's not like they got to take a plane all the way to across the country to see this kid. But if they want him in the class, I think they need to get on him communication wise pretty quick, because he's starting to be a little bit more receptive to some of the other schools who are continuing to reach out to him and recruit him harder than Michigan has at this point. So Amir Herring is my number four on my list. John, want to go over to your number three, or did you have any thoughts about Amir Herring in general?
No, I think you covered it. Maybe Ron Bellamy still has his keys to get into West Bloomfield there. And he can just stop on by whenever he wants.
You would think so, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a guy that Ron Bellamy's probably is recruiting and should be visiting. And that's Miami five-star Jaylen Brown, who was recruited hard by Josh Gattis before he left for Miami. Bellamy's kind of taken the reins here. You know, if if Michigan had any recruiter on him, Bellamy has the best shot of getting him up to Michigan. You know, there's talk about him visiting for the spring again soon with his family, which will be huge. But just going down there and showing your interest, you know, keeping Michigan at the top of his mind is important. With there's a lot of allure from the Southern schools, especially, you know, Miami's making a big splash right now, and it'd be enticing to stay home with Gaddis there. But I think Michigan still hasn't given up and picked up the communication a lot in recent months. So just getting down there, showing him some love, and then getting him back up on campus for spring or summer would be huge.
You know, I'll be completely honest with you, John. I don't have any wide receivers on my list whatsoever, but if I did pick one, he would be the one, because that's the guy that you would imagine Michigan has the best shot with out of all of the highly regarded, like all the five stars, like him. And they were recruiting Brandon Innes for a little while. And there are so many other highly ranked wide receivers that Michigan's in play for, but he's certainly the one that you would just want to really go all out for. Desmond Howard, having the connection there, but it really just all comes down to getting him back on campus. And yeah, you're right. I mean, potentially if they go check him out during the spring evaluation period, maybe it'll really pique his interest with Michigan and get him out for a visit. It sounds like he might get out for a visit anyways, but it certainly would not hurt to reinvigorate that interest. So my number three, John, I'm going to stick in the state of Florida. And it's a guy that Michigan already has committed to the program, and that's linebacker Raylan Wilson, the four-star. He had committed to Michigan a little while back, but Georgia, Alabama, some of these other SEC schools are on his tail. He's among the top linebackers in the country, which is a huge position of need for Michigan in this class. So I think Michigan really has to go all out to keep him in the fold in this class. He's a top 100 player, one of the top linebackers in the nation. I think he's one of the better ones for sure. I mean, every talent evaluator thinks so, but I was really excited when Michigan got his commitment. I think he's a really, really good linebacker, really good player. So they need more guys like Raylan Wilson in the fold. And if they lose a guy like him, it just would be back to square one for linebackers in this class. So I think he should be prioritized, even though he's already committed. But if I were Michigan, I would treat him like an uncommitted player at this point. So Raylan Wilson is my number three player on my list. Any thoughts from you, John, about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think he has to be priority. I think I already saw a tweet today that George Hilo and Jesse Minter were down there in Florida at his high school. So I think they had the same thought as you that, you know, as soon as they can, they need to get down there and make it clear to him and his coaches and stuff that he's still a priority and that they want him in this class. So I think that's great that they're already on it and going after him, because yeah, keeping him in the fold would be huge for Michigan's class. And, you know, mm-hmm. It's going to be a struggle to the finish line, I think, to keep him in there, but they're doing, I think they're on top of the ball here, already going down there to visit him. So I think, you know, it's a good start, just, you know, a long way to go in this one.
Yeah. Great news. Absolutely. I didn't see that. So thank you for that, John. What's your number two? We're getting to the nitty gritty here, John. Who is your number two on the list?
All right. You mentioned him earlier briefly, but I'm going to go with Caden Green, the
top
100 tackle from, I think he's technically from Illinois, but basically St. Louis,
Missouri, Illinois, Missouri, Midwest, yeah. Somewhere. Right. Yeah.
So this is, you know, Michigan got him up on campus in the past couple of months, which is, I think, a couple times actually, which has been good. They've really staked their claim as one of his top two schools. It's either them or Oklahoma, I think, at this point. You know, he grew up in Oklahoma, and there's kind of word that he would already be committed there if Lincoln Riley didn't leave. But Michigan's really doing their best here and kind of staking their claim. I think there's a couple coaches out there out in Missouri today. I didn't see Green School specifically, but I know that Sharon Moore and Jay Harbaugh are out there offering kids from that area. So I think they're also on and going after him, which is important because, you know, he's another top tackle like Jugusa who could really shape the offensive line here. So I think if they could pull him away from Oklahoma, that would be a massive recruiting win. He already has his official visit scheduled for the June. So he's going to take his officials, then decide over the summer probably. So just kind of keep up the contact with him and keep showing him love.
Yeah, he, like I said earlier when I was mentioning Jugusa, Caden Green would be that other offensive tackle on my list for sure. If they're going after, because offensive line is going to be a huge priority in this class as well. They only had a couple in the previous cycle, and I know they had Andrew Gentry also, I guess, technically considered in the last recruiting cycle, but you definitely want to take a couple tackles in this class, and Caden Green, Jugusa, those are the top two for me at least. So that's a really good pick by you, John, for your number two. I'm going to flip over to D-line finally, and I'm just going to say this. He's my favorite prospect in this class, and quite honestly, it isn't even close. He is an absolute freak show athlete, and his name is Nicholas Harbor. He's a five-star. I mean, this is a very winnable recruitment for Michigan. It really seems like he has it seems like Michigan has stood out to him in his recruitment up to this point. Now, there are going to be a few other hard-hitting programs along the way for Michigan to take down in this recruitment, but it's certainly a winnable one. He's 6'5", 240. I know the weight, it seems like the weight's been fluctuating. I've seen 220, 230, 235, 240. So he's somewhere in that range, but he's a track star, has Olympic, quite honestly, like he could be an Olympic athlete for track and field if he wanted to. He ran a 10.32 100 meter dash time and then beat that with recently, I think this past weekend it was a 10.28 100 meter dash time on the track and field. So it's just incredible the type of athlete this kid is at 6'5". And not many people that tall and that big can run that fast. So he can excel on either offense or defense. He could be like a flex, big wide receiver, tight end, kind of just throw it to him and he'll do his thing. But I think he's best put at defensive end to let him terrorize opposing QBs. Kids like him don't grow on trees. So I would put him at one of the most important positions on the football field at defensive end. And I really think Michigan has a legit shot to land him. So they should continue to go all out for him, especially during the spring evaluation period. They were hoping to get him on campus a couple weeks ago. It didn't happen because of his track and field schedule. So hopefully the plan is for him to visit with his defensive lineman teammate and another Michigan target, Joseph Mupoyi. So hopefully that comes to fruition sometime later this spring or summer. John, any thoughts from you about Nicholas Harbor? I can't imagine you'd have anything terrible to say about the kid.
Yeah, only that he was my number one and you stole it from me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to cheat. I was going to cheat and just say Archbishop Carroll and put Nick Harbor and Joseph Mupoyi in the same one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are two.
I almost did the same thing for my number two, if I'm being honest, but I just went with the one. So, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, those two are top of the board type guys. I mean, Landing Harbor would be huge. I think he's kind of turning into a viral athlete here. Like everyone's starting to catch on and realize how much of a freak he is just in the general public, not like, you know, like recruiting guys like us. So that'd be pretty cool to see if Michigan could land him. Yeah. And I think what landing him helps with Mupoyi and vice versa. So I think Mike Elston could honestly spend the whole week in the DC area in Maryland and recruit all the D-line prospects he's got there. So we'll see how it goes, but I guess I'll just kind of audible on the fly and pick another guy as my number one that Elston should go see. And that's a five-star Keon Keeley in Tampa, Florida, Berkeley Prep. You know, Elston got Keeley to commit to Notre Dame when he was there. And I was trying to flip him back. Once Brian Kelly left for LSU, he kind of opened up his recruitment. He's been visiting, you know, Alabama, Florida, looking at like Ohio State and stuff like that. You know, Michigan's been trying to working on getting him up for a visit, but hasn't been quite been able to yet. So if they can get an official from him over the summer or something like that, that'd be huge and kind of reconnect with Elston and hopefully get him to flip.
Yeah. He is an immense talent as well. It's crazy how many defensive linemen they're in on in this class. And obviously they're not going to get all of them, but man, I mean, Mike Elston has Michigan in the recruitments for a ton of top talent along the defensive line. He certainly is a premier talent along the defensive line, as are the two that we just mentioned with Mupoyi and Nicholas Harbor. They're really in it for a ton of these guys, and they're making it a top priority, this position, specifically defensive end in this class. So I'm excited to see how it all shakes out, because they are going after a ton of guys. And it seemed like for a couple of weeks there, John, like every day I would log on to Twitter and it would be another kid announcing that he got an offer from Mike Elston in Michigan. And it's like, oh, okay, another defensive lineman. So they've offered 62 and 63. I mean, I don't know how many kids they've offered specifically, but it's been a ton along the defensive line. So yeah, I think all the guys that we've mentioned today are top of the board type guys that they would take in a heartbeat. My number one's kind of boring, John. And I know you didn't even have him on your list at all. And quite honestly, I understand why, but it's Dante Moore for me. And he's the only quarterback that they're recruiting in this class. He's the top talent in the state. He's a five-star guy, top 10 player in the class. I would argue that he is number one overall on the board. And you would imagine that with all of the attention that Michigan is giving him, you know, with him being the only quarterback that they've really offered in this class, all the other guys have either committed somewhere else or they don't really have like a great shot with, as the one guy in that category would be Arch Manning, in my opinion. But yeah, I really think that they need to continue to go all out for Dante Moore, because he visited Notre Dame recently and he's very open to leaving the state of Michigan. Not only just Notre Dame, but so many other schools going after him, Miami and LSU being like the two main ones, in my opinion, that are down south that have a legitimate shot with him. So it really seems like no matter what Michigan is doing at this point, he's kind of still just being receptive and open to these other programs. So I think if Michigan slips up at all and kind of takes away some of the attention, even though they're going 100% all in for him at this point, I think even if they take some of the attention away, offer another quarterback, perhaps, I think it would be a huge detriment to him and he would just be turned off a little bit by it. So I think at this point, you just continue to treat him like he's the only quarterback that they're recruiting, even though it's technically not true. They had the other in-state kid from Warren D. LaSalle, on campus, I think last week or very recently, and he doesn't have an offer, but Michigan is certainly keeping him in their back pocket in case Dante Moore does end up somewhere else. So again, I kind of just attribute my number one pick here to being a homegrown kid, a five-star player, a quarterback, which is always a position of need, but especially in this cycle, which is a cycle after you've taken two projects in Jaden Denegal and Alex Orji. He's just a surefire number one player on the board. So Harbaugh, Weiss, Schroen Moore, Bellamy, Steve Klinkscale, pretty much get the whole coaching staff over to MLK High School in Detroit and make sure that he's the only QB that they're currently recruiting. So that's my long-winded spiel on Dante Moore. What are your thoughts about that, Johnny Boy?
Yeah, I mean, he's the obvious guy. I just didn't include him because I figured you would and, you know, wanted to spread the love to other guys. But it's pretty unquestioned that he's the top guy that needs to be visited. You know, it's a short drive. They could get multiple coaches over there to the high school, and they probably will just because he's that important. So, you know, I think they are kind of exploring other options quietly just in case, you know, to keep their options open. But, you know, are really hoping to that he's the one guy that they end up landing in this class. So, you know, they're going to keep going until the bell is rung. You know, they're not going to give up, no matter what the perception is. So we're, you know, he's priority number one across all positions here.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen often where you get a five-star in the state of Michigan. Like, I know Will Johnson, he was just literally in the last cycle a five-star in the state of Michigan. But, I mean, since I've been covering recruiting, I can only think of three. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but it's those two guys and then Donovan Peoples-Jones are like the three that really stick out to me recently, at least since I've been with Mason Brew covering recruiting. So you, when the opportunity strikes, you got to just go all out and recruit those guys and make sure that they end up in Ann Arbor. Because if, like, let's be real, like it would be kind of annoying as a Michigan fan if Dante Moore went to Notre Dame. Like it sucks. Like you wrote in the story that we're going to post on Mason Brew later this week, with these Notre Dame Michigan recruiting battles, it's so frustrating to see a kid get recruited by Michigan. And then you watch their film and you're like, wow, this kid's really good. He's a top ranked talent. He's, you know, either from the state of Michigan or he's from the Midwest. It seems like a shoe-in. And then all of a sudden he goes to Notre Dame and you're just like, man, like what could have been, but he ends up going to be a Fighting Irishman instead. Rocco Spindler being like the one that sticks out to me as of recently. Obviously there have been way, way more, and Michigan's had their comebacks in the recruiting battles with, you know, Brain McGregor was one that Notre Dame fans were really pissed about. And Michigan had a Morgan Walker flip on signing day this past year from Notre Dame to Michigan. So it's just, it seems like this is going to be a continual thing for forever and ever in football recruiting. So we kind of just have to get used to it. So bottom line, if Dante Moore goes to Notre Dame, I'm going to be kind of upset about it. Even though, you know, it's not like Michigan will have to play against him because their next scheduled game is in like 2030 something?
2033 or something. Yeah.
It's like in a decade. So it's not like they're going to have to deal with him. You know, being in the Big Ten or going to Michigan State or Ohio State or anything like that, but still kind of just would just be annoying to me. Like, I don't know how you feel about that, John, but it would just be kind of annoying.
No, 100%. Like, I think what I was trying to say in the article too, is like the programs are so similar.
Yeah.
You know, I just called it the narcissism of small differences, where like the culture, you know, the history, the blue blood status, but not, you know, quite as recently. You know, it's all the same. So just kind of annoying to see Notre Dame kind of out recruiting Michigan right now. And they just went through a coaching change and stuff. Michigan's coming off a playoff appearance and stuff. But it kind of shows where Michigan could be at if they stack these appearances like Notre Dame has and be a consistent, you know, top 10 program. So,
yeah,
you know, I think they could start changing some momentum here. Hopefully during this evaluation period and once they start getting kids on campus for officials and stuff. So we'll see how it goes. I think Notre Dame's schedule is really tough. Starting off with Ohio State, they're playing, you know, at BYU, Clemson, USC, you know, there's, you know, potential that they finish with a worse record than their team talent actually is. So Michigan just has to keep these recruitments alive, keep extending their timelines and giving them a fighting chance here. And I think they can pull out a win in a couple of these ones.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think they will. And like I said, this, it's like Duke and North Carolina basketball. They just go back and forth with wins. It's never like one team clearly has the advantage over the other. It's always like Michigan gets one kid, Notre Dame gets one kid. So that's kind of what it's going to be like moving forward. So hopefully Michigan winds up landing Dante Moore, because if they don't, then it's going to get really, really interesting at the quarterback position. But that's a conversation for another day, if and when we cross that bridge. But that's all the time we got for Future Brew today. We appreciate you listening, as always. You can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, my friend?
At Simmons_John.
And follow Amazing Brew, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We would appreciate you subscribing to the YouTube channel and give all of our podcasts 5-star reviews. Subscribe to our podcasts as well. And we certainly do appreciate all your guys' support very, very much. For John Simmons, I am Vaughn Lozon. We'll catch you guys next week. Go Blue.